Felicity Hanukkah. For a few moments this morning, share with you a thought based, of course, on the Rambam, but a very, very interesting idea regarding the whole enactment, the whole Yontif of Hanukkah. So the Gemara's account of Hanukkah is in Shabbos, Daf Chafal from Ebeis. The Gemara says, what is Hanukkah? My Hanukkah, very interesting question, what is Hanukkah? The Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught, I think Meir Shapiro says, and others, they say, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? The Tan Rabbanan, that the rabbis taught, period. That is Hanukkah, that the rabbis taught. That's the essence of Hanukkah. But anyway, what is Hanukkah that the rabbis taught on the 25th day of Kislev, the 8 days of Hanukkah, that we don't say eulogies and the person doesn't fast, because when the Greeks entered the Heichal, Timukol Ashmanim, they rendered impure all the oil in the Heichal and in the sanctuary, and when the Malchus Beis Hashmonai overpowered them and were victorious over them, they checked and they could not find, except for one jug of oil, which was lying sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and it only contained enough to burn for one day. A miracle happened and it lit burned for 8 days. Now, the Shana Acher is the next year. Kivom, they enacted them, Vasom, and they made them Yomim Tovim, Bahalal Vahodah. So Hanukkah was established as days of Halal and Hodah. What's Halal and Hodah? So Halal, we know, we just said it. Hodah, Lo Shasurim Bimalacha. Not that it should be forbidden from Malacha. That's not what Hodah means, that we're not allowed to do Malacha like on Shabbos and Yantiv. Elalikros Halal, Velom Ralanisim Bahodah. So they enacted Hanukkah to be days of Halal and Hodah. Now I ask you, there seems to be something very important missing. They enacted Hanukkah to be days of Halal and Hodah. What about Ner Hanukkah? Now you could say that Hodah means Ner Hanukkah, but that's not what Rashi says. At least according to Rashi, Rashi says that it's Halal and Hodah. Hodah is Alanisim, which we say in the bracha of Thanksgiving, in the blessing of Hodah. So what happened to Ner Hanukkah? And all the rest of the Gemara is talking about Ner Hanukkah. What happened to Hanukkah in the enactment of the actual holiday? That seems to be a very strong question. Now the Rambam in his account.
Before we go on, when it says Halal and Dor, does it necessarily mean the full Halal? When it says Halal and Dor,
seemingly
it means the full Halal.
That's what we say. Right. So that's what it means.
But I'm saying in other places where it says Halal and Dor.
Nowhere else does it say that expression of Halal v'Hodah. You know, it says that you say Halal, and then you say it's Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, but Halal normally means the full Halal, unless otherwise noted. So the Rambam, in his account, in the third parak of Hilchas Chanukah, it's interesting, the first two chapters of Hilchas Chanukah are about Hilchas Megillah. It's called Hilchas Megillah, but then the third chapter all of a sudden changes titles and it's called Hilchas Chanukah. And he says, he says the account, and in the first sif over here, he says the account of what happened. And then he says, Uchshagov Yisrael Alevim, when Klai Yisrael overpowered their enemies and they destroyed them, it was the 25th day of Kislev, and they entered the Heichal. They couldn't find any pure oil in the Beis HaMikdash except for one jar, and only had enough for one day. They lit from it the Neros HaMaracha, the ranged candles, on for the 8 days until they were able to press olives and bring in pure oil. Okay? Umipnei Zeh. And because of that, Hiskinu Chacham Shebo Sahadar, the sages of that generation enacted, these 8 days, which begin on the 25th of Kislev, you may simcha v'halo. The Rambam says simcha. Right? It's something that's the subject of a lot of discussion. Because in the Gemara it doesn't say simcha. It says halal and odah. But the Rambam explicitly says the days of simcha and halo. Umadlikin behen haneros be'erev al pischei habatim. And we light the candles at night on the doorways of the homes. B'cholayla v'layla mishmona halelos. For all the 8 nights. All these 8 nights, laharos uligalos hanes, to show and to reveal the miracle. And these days are called Hanukkah, and they're forbidden to have eulogies like the days of Purim. And then the Rambam ends off and he says, hadlakas neros is a mitzvah midivrei sofrim. It's a mitzvah from the chachamim, kekriyas hamagil, like kriyas hamagil. Now, it's a funny thing also. The Rambam says here that the days of simcha v'halel, umadlikin ben haneros, and we light the candle. I would think it should say the Yimisimcha v'Halel Shemadlikim and Aneros that we light the candles and we light the candles. As if to say that it's a separate thing, like almost like it's a separate or like it's a separate point. That's for sure.
It's a bit different, right? Because that is broadcasting, so it's like a separate idea. The lighting the Hanukkah.
But isn't that what Hanukkah? But if you ask anybody, what's Hanukkah? It's a menorah. That's the symbol of the Yantif of Hanukkah. That's what anyone would tell you. And also, why does it say, Kriyas HaMegillah. It's a mitzvah from the Chacham Chamin, like Megillah. And Megillah is more closer to being a Doraisa, because it's learned out from a Kal Vachomer, that's the way you learn out, that you have to learn Megillah, but, you know, it would seem that...
But they both broadcast the net.
They do, but why are you saying that Hanukkah is like Megillah? Like, what do you say? Like, what's what I'm trying to say with that? That Hanukkah, it's Mitzvah Yisofim, like Megillah. It's Mitzvah Yisofim. It's like Megillah. In what way is it like Megillah? So, this is from a sefer called Berachas Chen, but I've heard this idea many times, and the first time I heard it, it like blew me away. It can't be, how can you say such a thing? There's two ways to look at the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, the lighting of the candles on Chanukah. One is that it's one of the mitzvahs Hayom. You have to sit in a sukkah on Sukkahs. It's an inextricable part of the Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is Sukkahs, and Pesach is not eating chametz. It's part of it's the defining essence of the Yom Tov, right? That's what Pesach is about. We don't do malacha, but it's also about eating the matzah and having a seder there and sukkah. So Hanukkah also lighting the candles of the menorah, which is what you would think, everyone would say, you would tell me, is that this is the essence of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, that we light the candles of the menorah. There's a second way to look at it, that it's not from the mitzvah hayom. It's not the essence of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is one thing. And then there's a separate mitzvah called Pirsumei Nisa. There's a separate thing to spread the miracle. But it's not the essence of the yontif. The yontif is one thing. And during this yontif, there is an added obligation, a separate obligation, to be mefarsim the nes, to spread the miracle, to publicize it. But it's a separate thing. So Rashi says, the Gemara says, Ner mitzvah, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lanich la Pesach Pesach mibachutz. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah to leave it on your doorway from the outside, says Rashi. Mishum pesumei nisa. So the idea is that what was Chanukah enacted for? If someone asked you, what is Chanukah? The Gemara says, the kavon v'asom yom tovim b'hal v'hodo. The essence of Chanukah is days of thanksgiving and expressing gratitude. That's what Chanukah is. Not just that's a nice part of Chanukah, it's a nice idea. That's what Chanukah is about. The hallel that we say every morning, which perhaps, you know, we try to get through because it's a long davening, that's the essence of Chanukah. And the Alan Nisim that we say, the extra minute that we have in Shemona Esrei, that's the essence of Chanukah. And Hadlokas Ner is a mitzvah of Fe'atzma. There's another mitzvah called Hadlokas Ner Chanukah because of Pesumei Nisa. It's a separate thing. It coincides. You wouldn't have this mitzvah of menorah if it wasn't Chanukah. But there's a chiyontif of Chanukah without the Ner Chanukah. They're two separate things. Obviously, they overlap and they're inextricably connected. So that already the Mefarshim explained, because this Hodah is a different. This is not Simcha. This is what everyone mums the Rambam on, because it doesn't say Simcha. This Hodah is simply Hodah. Normally, it's the Din and Simcha. Usually they're together. It's a din in simcha that this simcha involves the ein simcha lebasar v'yayin. Simcha is only with meat and wine. Here it doesn't say simcha. So everyone gestalt on the Rambam. What does the Rambam mean that it's a simcha v'hal? He says it's simcha. In what way is it simcha? And the Rambam says simcha v'hal. He doesn't say hodah. It's a lot of
talk. Something like that. What does that symbolize? Isn't that a way to express hodah?
Yeah, but that's a specific type of the carbon toda is a specific type of hodah. I mean, here the hodah is simply hodah. It's an expression of gratitude. That's what it is. It's saying hodah. And the reason is because Purim, they tried to kill our bodies, so it's a physical celebration. And Hanukkah, they tried to wipe us out spiritually, so it's a spiritual thing. That everyone talks about. So he says now, if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam says these days that begin Chofei Kislev, you may simcha v'hala. That's the essence of the day. And then there's another, his wording is, there are days of Simcha and Halal. That's the essence of these days. And also, Umadlikin Behen HaNerus Be'erev. We light the candles during, it coincides, but that's not the days of Hanukkah, is not the lighting of the candles. But, yeah?
That'd be a very silly question, but usually they make a bracha over the mitzvah for the yontif, like the Shechianu. But we don't say Shechianu before the or the thank you. We say Shechianu on the extra that coincides with it. Isn't that kind of funny?
You know where this comes up? When I think it was last year, when Shabbos Chanukah, there's two Shabbos Chanukahs. So the first time you're lighting the Chanukah candles, you're lighting before Chanukah. And and have to burn into the yontif. But here's the conundrum. Because what are you going to do? Because you say a shechianu, it's not the yontif yet. So I think I once heard a shir about that, and I think that was the idea born after. Zalman Auerbach says, because the shechianu is not going on the yontif, it's going on the mitzvah. And therefore, even though it's not really the zman of the mitzvah yet, because this is the way you're performing the mitzvah, you know, so the shechianu, it is a subject of debate. What is the shechianu going on? We know that when you make the sukkah, you don't say shechianu. The shechianu that you're making kiddush is also going on the sukkah. You're supposed to have it in mind. On the first night, the shechianu is going on the sukkah, and it's going on the mitzvahs of the day. And Mikra Megillah also, when you say the shechianu by Megillah, it's supposed to go on all the mitzvahs of the day also. But he says that's the connection between Purim. The Mikra Megillah is not the, obviously, again, it's part of, you know, you're not going to look at Purim without Mikra Megillah. But Megillah Nikreis, the first words of Maseches Megillah is that Megillah can be read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. It's not limited to Purim. It has to be read around that time period. But Megillah Purim is not defined by the Megillah, because many, many communities, they didn't read Megillah on Purim. They read it before, they read it after, well, not after, but they read it before, the days before. So that's what he's saying, that Hanukkah also, the menorah has to be lit on Hanukkah, but it's not the essence of the yontif, it's a separate part of the yontif. So it's a fascinating idea to think about. I actually once heard, you know, in the Gemara has a famous machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do you light the Hanukkah candles? Do you go from 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3 to 1? Or do you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? You know, how do you light? So Shammai says you go down because you want to. It's like destroying tumah. Beisil says you go up, which is what we hold, of course. Every night you light another candle. But the question that I heard a couple of years ago for the first time, and it struck me as like, what kind of obvious question is that? Shammai and Beisil lived about 100 years after the Hanukkah miracle. What did they do until then? All of a sudden, Shammai and Beisil wake up and have a machlokas. So I heard a pshat on a ship from Rav Goldwich. I think it brings down from Josephus. I think that was the source. That originally there was no takana that every person lights Hanukkah candles at home. The Hanukkah candles are lit in the Beis HaMikdash. Every year is a zecher. And then I think 100 years later, I think it was Yanai. It was one of the Chashmonaim kings, Nebuch, who forbade them to light the menorah. So in order to overcome that, you can stop us in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't stop us in every person's home. Like it was Hillel himself who enacted that they should light the candles in every person's home. So, punt, at that point, it's a big chiddush to me. At that point, they had a machlokas, how do you light? So how should we light these candles? You can't just do it the way they did in the Beis HaMikdash, it was a set candles, but to do it the zecher of the miracle, that every person is now going to do it in their own home. How do we light it? But you see that literally, for 100 years, for sure, that the essence of Hanukkah is Hallel and Udo. Later on, they added the Ner Hanukkah. What? The temple was a chiv, they have to light in a certain way.
Which way?
It was seven every night.
It was a different menorah.
It was seven every night. No, one of the reasons, in fact, to the answer to the Beis Yosef's question, I just heard this, it's interesting, the words Beis Yosef, everyone knows Hanukkah is the Beis Yosef's kasha. Beis Yosef's kasha is, you hear it over and over, is why Hanukkah is 8 days, not 7 days, because they had enough for 1 day, so the miracle was only 7 days. I just heard someone was saying that in Parshas Miketz, it's the only time, I think the only time, definitely the first time, in the Torah we have the words Beis Yosef, the house of Yosef, Beis Yosef. But it's just interesting, Beis Yosef, and it's famous, it's inextricably bound to Hanukkah.
We didn't like Hanukkah,
they didn't, but he said they didn't have this specific takana. I have to go back and read it again, but I think that's what he said. He said definitely there wasn't a takana to light it in everyone's homes.
Did he have special menorah business? He brought it in?
No, apparently not. No, I'm not sure.
They used the original, so what did...
No, so apparently, no, they used whatever it was. They didn't have a specific takana for this mitzvah.
Yeah, but there's no Mishnayos on
Hanukkah. Right.
There's no Mishnayos on Hanukkah.
Correct.
So it's possible that we didn't light candles after the second base of Mishnah, because they lit in the base of Mishnah. We didn't light it all until...
Right, until Hillel. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what Goldwich is saying.
So there could have been a couple hundred years...
But it was about 150 years, I think it was. I think it was about 100, 150 years, I think he said, that they
didn't light. Well, the time between the Mishnah...
Between the miracle and the Mishnah, yeah.
So there had to be a separate menorah.
Why?
Because the menorah they had there was how many? Six?
Seven. So I was going to say, Chacham Tzvi says that the reason why, one of the reasons why you have 8 days of Hanukkah and not seven is because if it was seven, then Aron and Hur would look like the ones in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have a duplicate of the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, so they have to make 8 days of Hanukkah so that the menorah is eight candles. Interesting.
The first day itself is a miracle. Just the fact that they found one.
There is many, many answers to the question. One of the answers given is that it's because they found it. One of the answers they give is for the wars. The only question is, and every answer has so much to discuss. So the Beis Yosef himself, who asks the question, first of all, it's a funny thing that it's attributed to the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef lived about 1,500 years after the Hanukkah miracle. Nobody asked the question before them, but it's not true. The question was asked by the Rishonim. He talks about it. Other Rishonim also talk about it, but it's attributed to the Beis Yosef. And he himself gives three answers. One of his answers is that they divided it into eighths. One of the answers is that when they poured out the oil, immediately the oil refilled. Which leads to the question of, well, that's very nice to have miraculous oil, but if you have miraculous oil, you can't light the menorah with miraculous oil. Sorry, Rabbi Nishon, you wrote in your Torah that it has to be Sheven Zayezach, it has to be olive oil, and your miraculous oil is very nice, and it's a very good story, but we can't use that for the menorah. So that's another question that they deal with. If they split it into eighths, so even the first night it was a miracle, well, how did they have the right to do that? Because if you're splitting it into eighths, then you don't even have enough for one night. Another question, the famous question that they ask is Tumah Hutrubit Zibur. Tumah is Mutter when it comes to all. Tired Zibur, Tumah, there's no Tumah. So the whole problem, they didn't want to use that oil that they're Metame is because the Greeks rendered it impure. Well, there is no impurity when all of Klal Yisrael is impure. So the Pnei Yeshua, the famous Vardi, says because they wanted to do the mitzvah with purity to overcome the Greeks. Well, then you have to ask the question, who gives them the right to do that? Maybe you can't do that. You can't rely on miracles. You can't rely that a miracle is going to happen. It's endless, endless, it's an amazing amount of Torah that's discussed in Pilpul, not just the nice Verdlach, but in Pilpul, of what occurred, and how could they have done it. And I always say, only half jokingly, because I think it's more serious than as a joke, but the analogy I give is imagine that, Purim is a massive war, and all the Arab countries gang up on us, Rahman al-Islam, and all of Lakewood, the whole yeshiva packs out to go fight them. All the Bachim from the yeshiva and the Rosh Yeshiva, and they beat them. And they come back to the Beis Medrash, and there's 5 minutes left before Shkia. And nobody did any of the mitzvahs Hayom. Not Mikra Megillah, not Shalach Manah, someone does. There's 5 minutes left, what do? You can imagine, the place breaks out in a frenzy, screaming and yelling and sort of going back and forth, and like, we have to leave Megillah. By the time they get, forget it, the day's over before they even make a decision. But then there's a clock on the Bima, and the Rosh Yeshiva gets up, and he renders his psak, and everyone does it. Whatever the Rosh Hashiva says. Afterwards, you can fight about it. But for that moment, they do it, whatever the Rosh Hashiva says, right? There's hundreds, literally hundreds, probably thousands of pages of Pilpul of what they did, how could they have done it, and if they did that, then there's this problem, and that problem, and this problem, and that problem. The fact that they did anything, to me, is a miracle. How did they come to a consensus? They could have spent 8 days, and it's very conceivable if you've ever been in a Beis Medrash, 8 days fighting about what they should do, what's the right thing to do, and they wouldn't have done anything. So they all decided, I assume, they're machnia, they subjugated themselves to the psak of the Kohen Gadol. And for that itself is something. That itself is something. The Reb Chaim Brisker, who was an unbelievable Talmudist, brilliant, brilliant thinker, but the Posek Hadar at the time was Reb Yitzchak Elchanan inspector. He was the final word. So Reb Chaim used to send him, questions on a telegram. So the Reb Yitzchak Elchanan would have to reply on a telegram. No, stop. Stop was a period, no, or yes, or for the first day, or whatever the kasha was, So one time his Talmidim asked him, why do you do it on a telegram? Send them in the mail, send them along, So he said, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan is the Posek Hadar. He is the final word. Klal Yisrael has accepted him as the Posek Hadar. He has special divine assistance, the Siyata Dishmaya, that his psak is emes, his psak is truth. He says, if he writes to me his svara, I'm going to fight him on it. Because he was also a brilliant Talmud Chacham. He said, I'm going to fight him on it, then we're going to back and forth. And, here I just have the psak. I don't know what his svar is. I don't know why. I just have to follow his ruling. I can't fight him on it, So, the fact that they came to any consensus on Hanukkah, I think is just a fascinating thing. Because they were machnia to Das Torah. They subjugated themselves to the final word of the authority at the time. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing in the Mishnah because Rebbe probably very upset that we lost the second base because of the Hashanah. Okay, because the one of the brothers went to Rome to get assistance. By the time they started to write the Gemara, people were saying, you know, we're going to forgive, okay? And that's why there's only a couple lines in the Gemara anyway.
That answer is actually, it's a very difficult answer. It's attributed to the Chassam Sofer. So it's not that the fact that there's no Masechta in Shas about Chanukah. So I think Chassam Sofer himself said it. That Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was from Shevet Yehuda. Ramban, it's actually Machlokes Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban holds that it was a terrible thing that the Chashmonaim usurped the Malchus. And that's why they were wiped out. There's no one left. It's unbelievable. The family who saved Klal Yisrael, there's no one left from them. Generations later, they were wicked kings later on, their descendants, the terrible, terrible things that they did, undoing their ancestors' work. But the Rambam doesn't learn that way. The Rambam learns that it was a great thing. He says that the greatness of Chanukah was that they brought back the monarchy for 100-something years, till close to the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. But the Ramban learns, it's in Ramban and Vayechi, Lo Yasu Shevet Miyehuda, that they were not allowed to take away the scepter from Yehuda. Yaakov Avinu promised it to David. Once it comes, Shaul HaMelech was before, but once it comes to David, once it comes to Shevet Yehuda, it has to stay there. So they usurped the Malchus, so he kept them out of the Mishnah. It's a very difficult answer. But Chassam Sofer says it, and not jokingly. So if Chassam Sofer says it, then there's something to it. But another answer, another approach to it, is that Chanukah is Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, it's also a deeper shmuz. Chanukah is a celebration of the oral Torah. The written Torah, they were metami the oil, so to speak, they were metami the written Torah as well. Because they Septuagint was written, and now it was translated, and that was the forerunner to the King James Bible, and the fact that there's a New Testament and all those other things is because it dates back to the Yevanim taking away the Torah, having it translated, and even though a great miracle occurred, but the fact that it was translated, so now they had their hands on it. They're metami the oil. It's not just the oil. Oil is a symbol of Torah. They're metami everything, even the Torah itself. So we became the people of Torah Shabbat Peh, because that's exclusively ours. But even Torah Shabbat Peh, once it's written, loses something. So Chanukah was a yontif that was exclusively Torah Shabbat Peh, even from the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's a more of a lamdish imperative. It's very difficult. Much more logical.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
It's difficult, but
this idea, I think, makes more sense. Yeah, and obviously more sense. But Yoshi Valibi more settles more that's the idea that what Chanukah is, a celebration of Torah Shabbat Peh, and it remains Torah Shabbat Peh. Even from Torah Shabbat Peh, it remains Torah Shabbat Peh. It's literally the oral Torah as we pass down from generation. But in the Gemara itself, there is about three blot of discussion of the halachas, and it's actually in the sugya of Shabbos. From the Ner Shabbos, it segues into Ner Chanukah. That's the only discussion. The Mishnah mentions two or three times in passing the word Chanukah or menorah. You know, Baba Kama one time, and other places, but that's it. That's it. There is no mention of the holiday of Chanukah. In Rosh Hashanah, it says it once. Al Kislev, they would send out the emissaries because of Chanukah, but it's like cryptic once here and there, but that's it. So it's an interesting thing. But the main point that I wanted to bring out is that the Yontif of Chanukah, essence of these days is Hallel Vodos, to thank Hashem from the big miracles to the small miracles. Ramban famously says also that from great miracles a person comes to recognize that everything in his or her life is a miracle. And that's what the essence of these days are, to appreciate what we have, to appreciate who we are. And there's also an incredible mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but that's not the essence of the day. That's a separate, amazing mitzvah, an amazing opportunity that we have during this time. But the essence of these days is Hallel Vodos. So,